Bless them.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter number 1.
To read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can understand his errors? For we see just the smallest part if thou hast opened our eyes. And then we see just the smallest part of what is outward and what is inward. And then there is so much that is still hidden from our eyes. But there are those that cry out under it, as we have heard it out of the mouth of thy servant. And he desired that it would be so different in his heart and in his life. Even as thy servant so many years later did cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he has spoken and he has magnified and testified of thy dear and only begotten Son. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open our eyes. Thy law is perfect, converting the soul and leading back unto thee, without whom we are condemned forever, each and every one of us. For there is no difference, all have turned out of the way, They have become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then it must become a wonder unto us that thou hast sent thy Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, that thou mayst show to us our lost state and condition by nature. The statutes of the Lord are right. Oh, they are those that may rejoice the heart. The testimony of the Lord that is true, that is right, that is converting our souls. Oh, come then, Lord. For we can say nothing to our fellow man in this hour, and that is able to convert the soul, except that thou may bring thy own word into our hearts. Look upon those that do desire to fear thy name. Thou knowest where that they are. Here and there in the midst of us, maybe not known unto any others, but secret desires living in their hearts because of a new birth. And then often in the inner chamber, and because they feel to be without hope and without God in this world. Oh, that thou may give more among us, and that there may be truth in the inward parts, that we may receive the tender fear of thy name within, and that we may be brought into the life of thy dear church, that does love and seek after and pant after thee, then it is not filled with all the turmoils that are in this world, but then it has a desire according to this world, to thy word, to be separated a little while, to come into a blessed communion with thee. Only to hear thy voice, and that thou would speak unto my soul, and that thou would say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, that thou mayst remember such among us, whether they be young or old, where there is truth within, where thy spirit has drawn, and thou knowest there are also those who desire this. O Lord, then they look on with a jealousy from the outside, and they say that I could only be counted among the number of that people. O that thou mayst give them ears to hear, that thou mayst give them hearts to understand, and that thou wouldst seek them out, Lord. Oh, give them a little token for good out of thy holy book, and that thou may give that the yearnings after thee may be filled, and the meek, thou sayest, shall eat and shall be satisfied. We do not know where they are, but thy word does speak about the poor and those that do labor and are heavy laden. Oh, that thou mayst remember them, each one in their place. And could we be used as a little instrument in thy holy fingers to give a little encouragement unto thy people. Increase their number. Oh, when we have nothing, Lord, and when we have nothing in our heart but a religion that is form and custom, then we may speak about thee, but thou knowest not of us. Oh, that thou mayest undeceive us, if we are those who take what does not belong, and that we may be given also wisdom to lay before our flock that which may separate, that may divide the precious from the vile. And when we may speak of that new birth and all the things that come out of that new birth and that are in that new life, and where we are called to examine our own hearts, oh, that each of us might look within, and that it may be profitable in this thy holy day. And wilt thou lead thy people from strength to strength, and do care for the sick ones. For thou knowest our province and all this world, and how many persons are taken away day by day. And thou knowest the doctors and the nurses, and thou knowest all that is taking place. Oh, that thou may help them, Lord, from there in all of their need. Care for the sick, and that to draw near with much fear unto the gates of death. Oh, that we may be given to fear thy name and to tremble before thee, and that thou mayest hear the needy when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh. And wilt thou care for those that mourn, for their numbers are multiplying day by day, under the heaviness of thy hand, under the pestilences in this world. Oh, that thou mayest lift thy hand, Lord. Oh, thou knowest that we have not turned unto thee. We have turned every one to his own way. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldest lay upon thy dear Son the iniquity of us all, and that we may be forgiven, and that we may be turned again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember us as a people, here in our own congregation. Lord, thou knowest all that takes place. Thou knowest what is the grief of our heart. And thou hast sent us unto this place. And give us wisdom and discretion to lead this people. And give us faithfulness and strength to do thy work. Could it please thee to bless our labors and allow us yet to continue here among this people, and that thou mayest bring thy name glory. Oh, thou knowest what we are, and we are all filled with ourselves, from the greatest to the least of us, and we need to be brought upon our knees unto thee. Oh, bring us in that right place before thee, Lord. Help us in this hour. Give us strength, wisdom, and grace, and thy Holy Spirit, and that thou mayest remember us and bless us undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 38, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure and gives wisdom unto men. And the precepts of the Lord are right and fill the heart with great delight. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 38. hearest the sound thereof. Congregation, we have been listening. We have opened our ears. We have been listening for the sounds that are coming forth from those newborn babes, the cries that are seeking, the cries that are asking, the cries that are yearning for the preservation of that life that the Lord has given unto them. We have heard a little bit. We have heard a little of the cries of the youth. Oh, they are expectations of the youth. And when they go through this world, and they are those who have been given strength from the Lord. They are those who are looking forward to that life that the Lord has given unto them here below. Are there more sounds? Certainly, because boys and girls, then you will not always remain young, but you will begin to grow, you will get older, and then there will be more, and there will be different sounds that are coming forth from you. Not everything is good in this world. It is a fallen world in which we live. A world in which things are not the way that we would like them all to be. And so there are also enemies. And so our country has to raise and maintain an army. And so then there are also young men who are sent forth out into the war. And then we hear something also of those young men. And then we feel and we hear something of the optimism by which that they are going forth into that warfare. And then they are ready with all their strength to fight in a battle. Shall we try to say a few words about this? In this afternoon hour, our text can be found in Matthew chapter 5, and thereof the 6th verse. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So far the words of our text, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We want to see first what this righteousness is. Second, the blessedness of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what this righteousness is. And second, the blessedness of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is that? Righteousness. That has to do with the law. Righteousness is conformity. Conformity to the law. That is very closely connected to justification. What is justification? That is to show that a person is righteous, that a person is doing and is right with the law. We know we were created in righteousness. That is part of the image of God. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Thus man, perfectly conformed to the law of God, both in practice and also in principle. Thus, if a man is righteous, then that law does not curse him. If a man is righteous, then the law only blesses him. If a man is righteous, then a man is perfectly pleasing his lawgiver. Then there is a blessed harmony between that lawgiver and that person. Thus we are congregation created under law. What do we think of that? To be created under law, to be under the law of God, a law of God which also puts us under the law of man, under ecclesiastical law, under domestic law, under civil law. What do you think of that, children? To be under law. Do you like to be under law, young people? I told you already of that little boy who did not want to be under law. He said to his mother, "I also have a will. I also want to do certain things." And what did that mother say to him? "My son, in hell are all people who have their own will." Where does that come from? The man does not want to be under law. You and I, we don't want to be under law anymore. Where does it come from? That comes from Satan. That comes from Satan. He himself has rebelled, and he has lied to our first parents. He said, "You shall not surely die if you do not obey the law." That is now the beginning. That is the beginning of unrighteousness in this world. That is the beginning of disobedience. That is the beginning, congregation, of rebellion. And that is very dangerous. I'm very worried. You are my flock. Look around you in the world. You see the rebellion. You see the riots, you see Black Lives Matter, you see defund the police. What is it? No authority. What does Satan do? No father in the household anymore. Make a division between mother and father. Send father away. No order. No order in the house. And so our society that turns into a society that everyone does what is right in his own eyes. I say it out of love. I say it, congregation, with a trembling heart. This afternoon, we cannot keep going. It is not right. Really, it is not right. I'm afraid. Say, are you afraid of COVID? Yeah, yesterday I had a cousin, second cousin. She stood in the east at the grave of her husband. He was not a very old man, only about my age. And she stood there with her children. He was a policeman. He was a fireman. He was a hunter. He's not a weak man like me. No, he was a strong man, like many of you. But he is no more. Am I afraid of that? You know, there is a disease that we call it the dreaded disease. the dreaded disease. Do you know what it is? You say cancer, yeah? Never want to hear that word when we go to the doctor, do we? Cancer, dreadful, dreadful, yes. You know, there are people for whom this disease is also dreadful. They are old, they are weak. Some of them are also young. A congregation, that is not our greatest fear. My greatest fear is not COVID. My greatest fear is not persecution. Do you know what my greatest fear is? My greatest fear is what is happening within our own flock, within our own congregation, within our own congregations. An evil that is within, like a cancer that spreads itself. And you know what it is? It is a spirit of disobedience. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. Without receiving from the Lord a punishment, it is fearful. It is a fearful thing when there is no government, when there is anarchy, when everybody does what is right in his own eyes. And when we say to our children, we are now going to pick and choose. This children we will obey, and that children we will not obey. They're going to do the same. They're going to say, Mother, this one I don't like. And Father, that one I don't like. And Lord, this one I don't like. And that one I don't like. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Do you know what the apostle said to Titus? Put them in mind. Put them in mind to be subject. Tell your congregation, Titus, tell them to be subject to principalities and powers. Tell your congregation, Titus, that they have to obey authority. Put them in mind. Have I done that now? Lord, I have written to them. I've written to them 36 pages. Put them in mind. May I go back now? May I go back now to the Lord this afternoon? And may I bend my knees? And may I say, Lord, I did it. I have done it. I have done it again. I have put them in mind. Thou hast helped me to do it, though I have done it trembling. And will you do it too? Will you meet me there upon your knees this afternoon before the Lord? And will you say, Lord, he has done it. He has put us in mind. Oh, we leave it with you. Go home, parents, and read. Read the scriptures. Read Article 36 of our own confession. That is our doctrine. According to the Holy Bible. That is what I've subscribed to when I became a minister. That is what these office bearers have subscribed to. To hold that when they became an office bearer. And that is what every one of you who has made confession of faith, you have prescribed to that when you have said yes before the congregation and before the Lord. I leave that with you. I leave that with you now as an unburdening congregation of my own heart. May the Lord remember us. Blessed, we read here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is that? Righteousness. We read of Elizabeth and Zacharias that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And now the Lord Jesus, in that Sermon on the Mount, where he speaks about that true church of God, he speaks about the marks of that blessed church of God. And then he said, blessed are they that do hunger, and thirst after that life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, that life of righteousness that is now one of the first marks of that new life. Righteousness. What is it? It is one of the blessed attributes of God. God is righteous. That means that he is in full conformity with his own law. That law that is in perfect conformity with his own being. Then there is nothing that is outside. There is nothing that is conflicting between God and his holy law. Then we can read that the Lord in his judgments, that he is righteous. The righteous God, we read in God's word, the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. The Lord judgeth the righteous. That means he stands for the righteous, for those that walk according to his ways. And the Lord is angry, on the other hand, with the wicked every day. We heard of the sounds of that new birth. We heard of those infants. We heard of those youth. We heard of that hungering and that thirsting after God that is born in that heart when it is born again. But what kind of God is that? What kind of God is that that is being hungered and that is being thirsted for? That is a righteous God. Thus there can be no communion. There can be no fellowship with a righteous God without righteousness. We read when Abraham was 99 that the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am righteous. Be thou also righteous. What do we read about Noah? Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Job. What do we read of Job? What does the Lord say of Job? He says, my servant Job. You jealous of that? Oh, do you ever say in your heart, oh, if only the Lord would say that of me. My servant Job. But who was Job? He was a perfect. He was an upright man. He feared God, and he eschewed evil. Thus, a person who truly thirsts for God. We have heard that mark, did we not? Oh, have we examined our heart? Have we asked ourselves, is it so with me? Do I truly thirst for God? How may I know that I truly thirst for Him? But one that thirsts for Him is also one who hungers and that thirsts for righteousness. That cannot be different. Otherwise, we seek after a different God. Paul says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know what the Lord says of His people? He says, I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write it in their inward parts. His law. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Are we jealous of that? Are we jealous of that? That He says, I will be their God. They shall be my people. Do you ever lay that before the Lord and say, oh Lord, am I one of Thy people? Wilt Thou take me into Thy flock? Am I one truly of Thine own? What does David say? He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt Thou come unto me? Do you hear how those things go together? David understood that. The Lord, He places those things together. Oh, when wilt Thou come unto me? I will walk within my house, O Lord, with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, O Lord. When wilt Thou come unto me? Thou hearest the sound thereof. Do you hear that sound? What sound is that? Oh, we're going to make that little picture, young people, that you may have that a little in your mind to guide you a little bit. And then we think about that young soldier. That young soldier that is setting out for war. He is setting out for the battle. That is a boy, a young man who has signed up for the military. Ah, here we are talking not about the military of a country. No, here we are talking about the church militant. Oh, did we ever sign up in that warfare? I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. What is that? Oh, that is a man. It is a woman. It is a boy. It is a girl who has signed his name. And they have signed up. They have done this not because they were forced. No, what does the Lord say? He says, I will have a willing people in the day of my power. And then it is a voluntary signing that this people are signing up to fight, to have a war. When do they do that? When does that enlistment take place? Last few times I have been speaking about a little child, and then we say a youth, and then he grows up, and we say, well, then there is a time that he has that strength, and he goes out to war. But then we have to be careful, because in every picture there is not perfection. then it is not just as if we are born again children, and then it is many, many years later, and then we begin to fight against sin. No, that is not so. Not so at all. When does that warfare begin? That begins actually in the very beginning. That begins, congregation, when that new life begins. But how is it now for that young soldier that is just going to set out? Well, that young man, as he sets out, is completely inexperienced. He has heard many things about the war. Or are there also those who are the experienced soldiers in that militant church that are able now to speak a little unto those younger ones, that may say a little bit about what that warfare is? And now that the young one, oh, he is ready. He is ready to go to war, but it is all theory. Oh, that is all in his mind. He has heard so many things about that war, but do you know what he has never done? He has not yet faced the enemy. He does not know how many soldiers that there are in that enemy's camp. He does not know how strong that those enemies are. He has never been confronted with the wit of that enemy, the tricks of that enemy to get him to fall, to take him down. Thus, there is great inexperience in the beginning of that life. And when there is great inexperience, and then what does that young man, woman, what do they know? Oh, they know that there is love in their heart. They know that there is zeal, and they are going to go forth and they are going to fight in that warfare. But they often think that their strength is greater than it is. Oh, they have so much yet to learn about that warfare. Thus, here we sound. Sounds of great optimism, sounds of an entrance into the battle. A battle with what? Unrighteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Thus, the war that is with unrighteousness, that is with everything that is not conformed to the law, everything that is against the law, is a battle with transgression of the law. What is that sin? What does the apostle say? Sin is the transgression of the law. And therefore, John, he writes, all unrighteousness is sin. Violates what is right, what is moral. It militates, it fights against God and his law. Thus, John, he says, whosoever is born of God. Ah, there we have it. Right, young people? Now John says it. Whosoever is born of God, now we're going to get a mark. And what is it? Going to lay your heart and life with it? Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Oh, then it is speaking about that people again. the people who have entered into this warfare, then there is an opposition there, then there is a hatred there, then it is fighting that war that has been joined. And thus, what does that mean? If we have never joined that warfare, then we may be sure that we are not born of God. That is now a fundamental mark. That is a mark that cannot be missing. That is a mark that is between God and our own soul. We have to stand at His judgment seat. There it will be known to Him and to us. Sin, what is it? There are many different words in the King James translation that are translated from the Hebrew and Greek into the word sin. We cannot speak about them all. Do you know what sin is in general? Sin is that which misses the mark. Misses the mark. Will you remember that, children? Boys, you have maybe some arrows and a target, a mark. Say we set it there on the tree and we shoot the arrows and we try to hit the mark. That is what it means. Sin. You know what that is? That is everything that is missing the mark. That means the way that you have been created, the purpose that the Lord has made us for His glory, for His honor, we don't hit that mark. We are far from that mark. And everything that does not hit that mark is sin. To miss the mark, that is actually to miss a certain standard, the mark. Whereas that standard given unto us, well, what is the rule of obedience for God's people? That is the law of God. It is an eternal law. Do we make void the law? God forbid. God forbid. The law is holy. The law is just. The law is good. The law is consistent with the being of God. The law is the rule of obedience. He has created all His creatures that they might obey that law and walk in an orderly manner before Him. Actually, the common element of all sin is what we call privative. You know what that means? Privation. It means it speaks about something we have lost. Sin is something we have lost. You know what it is? It is righteousness that we have lost. Conformity to the law that we have lost. Thus, that new birth. What is it? Then the Lord is restoring something that is now the base, that is now the beginning, that is now so necessary. Otherwise, we are not born again. Oh, then the Lord is restoring something. That is a desire to walk in conformity with His law. That means the root of our corruption that has been overturned. Ungodliness. Sin hated. for its own sake. Righteousness chosen in its place. Preferred by the heart. And without this, there is no new life. Thou hearest the sounds thereof. Teach me to do thy will. Lead me in the land of uprightness, that is the breathing of the new life. Let us sing. 336. 1 and 2 I have followed, truth and justice. Leave me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection. Let the proud no more oppress. 1 and 2 of Psalter 336.
Thank you.
Thou hearest the sound thereof. Are there now such sounds to be heard in our own life? Are there such sounds that are heard by the Lord in heaven that are coming up out of our own secret chamber? Sounds of a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. O Lord, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Does the Lord ever hear such sounds coming out of your grieving heart, that I may be innocent of that great transgression? Oh, are those sounds, are they also heard? Is it seen also in a visible way in this world that we also have signed up by that Spirit of the Lord, that in all of our life, oh, Paul, he says, the good works of some, they are manifest beforehand. And those that are otherwise, those that are not manifest beforehand, they cannot be hid. They will be manifest afterwards. Do you know what he says about that people? You cannot hide it. You cannot hide it. And why not? Because when there is a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness, after conformity to that law, then those things cannot but be seen in the world in which we live. A little child does not understand things that are abstract. He understands only the things he can see. That is where often it begins also in that young life. Then it begins all often with all of the things that are to be seen in our life. The most visible, the most glaring of sins. I don't mean the sins that are only visible, that are visible to everyone. No, that is hypocrisy. What do we read about Joseph in his temptation? We read that they too were alone in the house. Alone in the house. No one else was there. Are you ever alone in the house, young people, when you are dating one another? You don't belong alone in the house. We need to have fathers and mothers. They need help against temptation. Then we do not go alone in the house together, but we make sure someone else is there with us, that we are not tempted. And when we are alone, oh, what did Joseph do? His father was not there. And yet he fled. He fled. He got out of that house as fast as he could. Why? How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So what lived in his heart. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then there is a careful life. Then there is a tender life. Then there is a life, our fathers, they have said, we do not want to step over a straw. Why? Because is it now sinful? Is that now sin, Father, to to do this, Mother? Will I displease the Lord? Oh, then there is a tenderness of conscience. Sin that is not fought in general, sin that is fought in particular. Or it is possible we say, I am the chief of sinners. Oh, what are they? And then our mouth is closed. No, sin that is fought in particular, what happens? When a man is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then that book, that novel, that fiction, that romance, all that becomes sinful. Then those movies, then they become sinful. Then that clothing, then we look in the mirror, then we say, no, then I cannot walk in this way in the midst of this world. Then there is a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. No, not in general, but in particular. Then I cannot go to that bar anymore. No, then I have to leave off with those old friends. Then I cannot do that lottery. Then we cannot bring that Christmas tree in the house, if that is what we do. Oh, then my hairstyle, oh, how plain that people become. They don't look like Jezebel anymore. But then there is a simplicity. Why hungering, thirsting after conformity to the law of God, the language? Maybe they used to curse and swear. Do you do that, young people? Cursing and swearing? Yeah. No, it is wrong. But yeah, those friends, they laugh. And they like me to be there then. Well, then we have a good time. No more. No more. The father and mother do not have to say it anymore. But then there are hot tears. Oh, then there is a hungering. And they say that is not the life that my soul desires anymore. And then they are going forth with a certain zeal. Oh, then they are ready to clean up. To clean up everything that is in their life. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Oh, hungering, thirsting after righteousness. You see that Samaritan? Oh, they cannot leave him lie there anymore. When the whole multitude of religious persons, a little bit better, a little bit higher, the people, they are brought so low, and they say, that man, he is no different than I. Oh, I am worse. I am worse than that man is. And then they are, oh, injustice. Then they are standing there, hungering, thirsting after righteousness. Then they are standing for those oppressed. Injustice, in judgment. Oh, they are grieved. Mine eye runneth down with water, because they keep not thy law. Blessed. Oh, blessed, the Lord Jesus says, are they that do hunger and do thirst after righteousness. Does it remain then with all those things that are outward? Oh, far from it. When it is the true work, then there is a growth. And then from the outward, then a child, he begins to understand things that are not only seen on the outside, but then that child begins to realize that there are also other things that are more abstract. What does Job say? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Oh, then he sees the sin. No, it is not outward. It is not an outward temptation merely, but it is an inward temptation. Ever think about that, girls? Ever think about that? Job, perfect and an upright man, and a maid, a young girl. Young girl. He said, my eyes, they fall on her. Ever think about that? See those boys? You see us men? You know why you need to be dressed? Because we are so wicked. I will tell you that. Because Job had it in his heart. That is why the Lord says it is because of sin. Then we need not to follow the fashions of this world, no. There needs to be a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. Then a girl, she looks in the mirror before she goes and she says, no, no, I cannot go like this. That has to be a longer skirt. That cannot be so tight. Oh, do we need to say all these things? Not if there is a new heart. No, then we do not need to say it, because then the Lord gives it in your heart. Then you may begin to understand that there is evil. There is evil on the outside, and there is evil on the inside. There is evil in the world. There is evil in the heart of God's own true people. I had a great-grandmother. She was a God-fearing woman. They say I did not know her. And that she was so grieved one day because there was a childhood song that kept going through her mind and she could not get it out. And this grieved her. Oh, the vanity, the heart that is drawn after this world. Who shall ascend unto his holy hill? And who shall stand in his holy place, they that have clean hands and a pure heart. Oh, Lord, give me clean hands. Oh, give me, Lord, a pure heart. You ever asked the Lord that? Oh, Lord, could I have a pure heart? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me, Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are we among that people? We find anything in our heart that may go along with all of God's people. When we can read about them in his holy word? Or are you conscious of ever signing up for that warfare? I'm not asking you how it's going. I said we're going to go slowly. Don't ask how it's going yet. There is much to come. I only ask you about that setting forth. Because if we have never set forth, then we are not born of God. Glorified church is a church triumphant. Where do they come from? Come off the battlefield. Come off the battlefield. And so if we have never ventured by the grace of God on that battlefield, we can never be part of that glorified church. Christ calls here a people blessed. Why? He says, they shall be filled. That hunger and that thirst that is born in the moment of regeneration, that is going to be fulfilled. They're going to eat and they're going to drink and they are going to be satisfied. He does not say they shall be blessed. He says, blessed are they. They are blessed already. Why? Because there is not a single one who truly enters into that warfare that shall not come out of that warfare victorious. Not a single one. For them, it is a great encouragement. Christ, he says to them, go on. Go forth in your zeal. Walk in that way of righteousness. Why does he give that people such an encouragement? Because they're going to need it. They're going to need it. They don't know that yet. They don't realize that yet. They have yet to come in the thick of the battle. They have yet to face that enemy. They have yet to experience just how strong that enemy is. Not far away, but here in the hand-to-hand combat. The strength of the temptations, the multitude of the temptations one after the other. They have yet to receive wounds, and they have yet to learn how that battle is won. That is coming. They do not know that yet. But what does Christ say to that people? We would say they are the little lambs of that flock. The little lambs. And they may know something of just that beginning. And they may hear something of that warfare. That their own heart that concurs with. They may go along with that. Maybe they cannot go much further. Oh, maybe just born. Just born. And now the Lord says, go on. Go on. And remember my word. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, next week, if all is well, then we hope to consider something how that people fare in that warfare. And we want to hear something about the sounds of the battle. The sounds of war. Today, just this part, we send you home with this. Just this part. Is there now any recognition? Concurrence of your heart that you have also entered, that you have enlisted. Will you take that home with you? You lay that now before the Lord, the beginning. The beginning has to be right in our life. Christ does not say, blessed are they that bow down their head like the bulrush, speak fair words, even about Christ. Does not say that. He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know those people? Is that also us? For they shall be filled. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we lay it all before thee. Be not the silent witness. Bless thou thy own word. Forgive all of our many sins. Wash and cleanse us in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Give us new hearts and a desire to be in perfect conformity with thy holy law. Keep us in this week from all danger, sickness, accident. Care for all that mourn. Help the students and the teachers, the administration, the school board, and all the efforts wilt thou bless in our own school. Be with those that are educated in their own homes, and wilt thou bless us and our children undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 328, stanzas 2 and 4. I thought upon my ways, thy testimonies learned, with earnest haste and waiting not, to thy commands I turned. 2 and 4 of Psalter 328.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.